said Hakim was amongst the maraja that was standing against the oppression in Iraq especially. Of course, his activities was not limited only to Iraq. He was worrying about Shia community all over the world.
When we study his lifestyle, we see he was really capable of teaching advanced level. Why? Because he was given this chance to revise the book of Mustamsak al-Urwatul Wuthqa. By whom? By the grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and jurists, especially the Shiite ones, all across the nation of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Mahdavi, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So in the 2021st, September 3rd, we lost one of the greatest ulama of the Shiite world, a marja, a religious authority in the country Iraq. He was really an outstanding figure, one of the most outstanding Shiite maraja in the 14th century, according to the Hijra calendar. He was no one but Muhammad Sa'id al-Hakim. You know, just belonging to the Hakim family brings him a kind of fame. And we know that Hakim family is among the greatest scholarly families in Iraq and the Shiite world. But today, and in upcoming session of the program, inshallah, with your presence, we want to be more familiar with the scholarly life of Sayyid Muhammad Sa'id al-Hakim. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Give us a little bit of his background and his early life.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As you mentioned, late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid Hakim belongs to a noble family, which is known as Hakim family in Iraq. And as you mentioned, also belonging to such family is enough to know about this figure. Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid Hakim, he is the son of the daughter of the grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin
Al-Hakim.
Who is the author of the Mustamthak al-Urwatul Wuthqa.
That's right.
Actually, who was the exclusive marja after the Ayatollah Bujardi.
That's right.
So, Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid Hakim is one of the maraja.
Yes.
That maybe for us Iranian, those people who are, those Shia people who are living in Iran, he is not known. But for most of the people in Iraq, Pakistan, India, Azerbaijan, and other Shias, he's really well known.
That's right.
He is born in 1936, and then he continued his studies with his father and grandfather and Sayyid al-Khuy.
That's right.
Actually, the name of Ayatollah Hakim for Shias of Iraq is associated with the concept of Arba'in, procession of Arba'in.
Okay.
He's really well known of the sacrifice that he did to revive the procession of Arba'in, or the walk of Arba'in.
That's
is
right.
Really popular and famous story circulating among most of the Iraqi people who are actually involved in this culture.
That's all right.
Because of the Ba'ath regime during the time of Saddam, they banned the procession of Arba'in.
Yes.
So no one was allowed to move from Najaf to Karbala, which was the custom of the ulama, being practiced by most of the ulama during the history. For that certain period of time, we see that late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Hakim is one of the maraja.
That's right.
He did this procession, and following his action, he was imprisoned for eight years in the prisons of Saddam.
That's
all
right.
So that is a kind of sacrifice, and some of the people right now, they are of this opinion that he could be considered as the people who had a key role in reviving procession of Arba'in during the last years.
Yes, that's all right. Yeah. So, I mean, Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid al-Hakim's, you know, imprisonment is because of his confrontation with the Ba'ath regime and Saddam regime.
Definitely. There are stories, he was invited to a conference, which was a kind of fake popular conference. Saddam was about to receive some sort of fame and popularity through initiating this conference, and he didn't participate in that conference. There are some other historical accounts which indicates that this is also one of the reasons for which he was imprisoned.
Yeah, he refused to take part in that conference, and for 8 years he was imprisoned, beside the other social activities we'll get to. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Mahdavi. Sheikh Ziaynia, he was truly a practical alim. Yes. You know, beside his scholarly life, which is really fruitful, he became a marja, an outstanding marja in the, you know, Hakim family. He got so many socio-political activities in Iraq. And we know that Saddam Hussein at that time was not a kind person to the ulama. So many of the members of the Hakim families were imprisoned and then martyred, were assassinated or killed by Saddam Hussein. And this shows the bravery of Sayyid Said al-Hakim to oppose him in that country. Give us a background about this aspect of the life of Sayyid Hakim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As my dear brother mentioned, and you also proved the points, Sayyid Hakim was amongst the maraji that was standing against the oppression in Iraq especially. Of course, his activities was not limited only to Iraq. For example, when Shiites were killed by Sepah Sahabe in Pakistan, late Ayatollah Hakim was really upset and sent a message to the prime minister of that time of Pakistan. And the prime minister also responded to his letter and promised to follow the, to prosecute and follow those people who were involved in the assassination of Shia people in Pakistan. It shows that late Ayatollah Hakim was not only active in Iraq.
That's right.
He was worrying about Shia, community all over the world. And it is quoted that every moment, every time that people, I mean officials, used to visit him, one of his most worries was about the Shia around the world. And he used to say that Shia is an orphan. Mm-hmm. And for example, Christians, when they have some problems in their life, some, you know, governments, some officials, they are to follow their problem. But about Shia, this is not the case. Sunnis, they have their own organizations. But about Shia, he always used to say that Shia needs some organization to defend those ones who are oppressed all around world in every different countries.
That's right.
Another important point of his activities was regarding the establishment of schools and libraries that he was involved in, the, you know, in these projects. For example, he has a very popular and, big library in Najaf al-Ashraf. That this library is very modern, and it has different branches in Iraq, different in different cities. And this is one of his activities. Another side of his activities was establishment of schools all around Iraq. Yes. That he was, following this way to promote the culture of the people of Iraq in a way so they be able to defend their, you know, rights in front of the oppressor government, especially Saddam and Hezbollah.
We know how much role the ulama and the maraji have in the country Iraq more than any other part of the world. I mean, in Iraq, especially under the oppression of Saddam and the Ba'ath regime. And after that, you know, the taking of the country by the U.S. and all this turmoil that was happening over there in the region, this was the ulama, the circles of ulama, who could bring a kind of solidarity to the Shiite community over there, especially when the ISIS, you know, attacked Iraq. These were ulama, the Sayyid Sistani, Sayyid Hakim, and the other ones, the other outstanding maraji, Sheikh Ishaq Fayyaz, and the other ones, you know, over there in Iraq, could make a kind of unity among the people in confronting the ISIS and other foreign troops over there in the country Iraq. This is how a true marja, I think, in situations like this, can help the people, a practical marja like Sayyid al-Hakim. Sheikh Mahtawi, Sayyid al-Hakim was also famous for some of his novel jurisprudential fatwas. Is it so? First of all, give us a background of what do we mean when we say a marja has a novel fatwa, or is this fatwa new or something like that? Some of the listeners might not be familiar with this concept.
Okay, that is a good question. Before we deal with this question, we have to say that this is one of the advantages and privilege of the Shia fiqh. That we believe the Shia fiqh. It is not like dogmatic things. We have principles from the Ahlul Bayt, but through the process of ijtihad that we learned from them and the companions of Imams, we believe in ijtihad, which is an advanced level of extracting ruling based on the principles we all learned from the Sharia law. So regarding this point, this is not the exception to say only we have such fatwas being issued through Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid al-Hakim. If we look at the history, we have different great ulama issued new fatwa compared to the fatwas regarding one subject.
That's right.
So, as you mentioned, for Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid al-Hakim, we see the new fatwa with respect to the apostasy, with respect to marriage, permanent marriage with the people of the book,
which we believe
that Christians and Jews.
Yes.
And
which is allowed according to him, huh?
Yes, actually, most of the maraja right now, they are of this opinion that temporary marriage is allowed. No one go against this, but permanent marriage, we may say this is
some of them somehow so between the several.
And actually, moon sighting that we are really facing problem. I think if we take the fatwa of Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid al-Hakim, we are not going to face any problem. All Shia,
does he believe in the
west
same?
To the east, they are going to take.
He believes
one
in the
way.
Same horizon,
yes,
whether in Asia, Africa, or any part.
He is of this opinion that if moon is sighted in one of the places of the territory, Shia territories,
or Islamic territories,
Islamic territories, you can cover all lands of Muslim people.
That's all
from
right.
West to the east. You just announced the starting of the Shawwal or the starting of the Ramadan. That
so the borders, the geographical borders, are not important in this case.
Yeah, he's not considering this point. Actually, we have to go through his discussion.
Yes.
But as you said, having new fatwas is not something new Shia ijtihad or Shia history.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtawi and Sheikh Ziaynia, for your presence in the program, The Teacher, about Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid al-Tabatabai al-Hakim. We'll continue our discussion on him in our upcoming session of the program, too. It was very kind of you.
You are most welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This is The Teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. For more information on this episode and to download for free our previous episode of this program and the most outstanding dignitaries of the Shia world, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. You can also refer to our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him? Ya Mu'allim, peace be upon you, truly you are our teacher.